Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't do it alone.
Ain't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians, well,
Wake up, yeah. I love that song. It's a motivator for me because we do all need each other. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking times or thinking ahead. Welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am just so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So, first we want to acknowledge God with a scripture and a prayer. And I will be reading my favorite scripture, Romans 12, 1 through 13. That's Romans 12, 1 through 13. And here reads the word. Go with me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. And it's titled, A Living Sacrifice to God. A Living Sacrifice to God. Sacrifice, that's a big word. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously, and if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Yes, that'll make things right. just learning how to treat one another. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all and everything you do for us. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for love, fellowship, and friendship, Lord. We just thank you for the avenue of Blog Talk Radio and bring back the family. We pray that you will use us in this venue to help us learn how we can really bring back the family in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord, let bring back the family provide a way to help your children do what it is you have for us to do. We are your children. So help the parents to give the children what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing they need the most is more of you. Father God, you have a day that bring back the family. Concentrate on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is truly true. So we start this discussion sober-mindedly that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak and to them that are listening. Let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, good to see so many people listening today. That gives me hope, and I hope it gives you hope as well. And, you know, look forward to just making this world a better place for us, for our youth, and for us. Because if they okay, we going to be okay. Okay? And, you know, I always say something about that song, Wake Up Everybody, you know. And it is a call for the people to wake up, and to get engaged, to make a difference, in this world. It's a calling out, okay? It talks about war and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time. None of this is new, but we got to keep on going. Calling for reform and change. It's time. It's time for a change. Awareness, hope, and accountability. Who's going to be responsible? Who? Okay. Hope and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And who's going to be responsible? No more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. And it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get with it and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Okay? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. They have places to go, okay? And when they go out and go all around this world, they're going to be representing us, okay? So we want them to make their contribution into society all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation, okay? A good foundation. And how are we going to do that? Well, we have to start somewhere. So we figure we'll just start on our block, you know, because it takes you can start something small, and then all of a sudden it's big, just like a tree. You plant it, it's small, and then after years go by, it's huge, like a forest tree. So we start block by block in our block and do something in our block for the youth that you see in your block. That might be wayward, that might need some extra tutoring, they need some books, they need something because, you know, they're out there and we're watching them every day. You know, the school systems are not doing I don't know who the problem is, but it is a problem, and we know it's a problem because we're seeing it all over the world right now, and we are victims right now of what we have done prior. It's showing itself right now. So, as they say, let's stop the bleeding, and let's just do something in our block to help. As long as we're doing something, then we know that we're doing it. We know that we're getting something done, and we're trying. So just think about if we just do something in our block and everybody do something in their block, just think about how that would be, okay? Our parents gave us what we needed. So whatever they gave us, let's give it to them. That's a start. Let's give them, you know, if we can't think of nothing to give them, then let's give them what our parents gave us. And they gave us a lot, okay? They gave us a lot to go on, and they gave us the ability to go out here and be able to go wherever we want, do whatever we like, you know, get along with people, work, have good work ethics, all of those things. So those are the things that we're seeing now that our youth need. They just need us to talk to them, first of all, and love them, give them some hugs. You know, they need to know that we care about them. Because with all these electronics and things like that, there's not a lot of communication going on right now in families. So, it's, you know, we could use a lot of what we had going back if we had to, you know, just sitting at the table having dinner and just having a good conversation, you know, when they come home or just seeing a kid on the street or your own kids, just finding out what they're doing, what's on their mind, what's happening, you know, what you're feeling, what you want to be, what you want to do, where you want to go. Ask them some questions. Be like Perry Mason. Ask all those good questions so you can get some good answers. Get all the facts, okay? Get all the facts. And so block by block is the way we envision to do this thing, to, you know, buy them some books, take them on a field trip, buy them some ice cream, talk to them, you know, buy them some notebooks. They got all these dollar store workbooks that you could give kids. You go get 10, 15 of them and give them to them and tell them to do, you know, those workbooks. And then give them a dollar or two, you know, just to let them know you appreciate what their hard effort, okay? I'm going to tell you what I do on my block. We're always busy. I can't even stick my head out the door without them saying, "Hey, Miss Kathy." And I almost got to have to wear glasses and put a hood over my head because as soon as I come out that door, just look out, they watching and waiting. What we going to do today? And I love that. I love that because that's what was done for me. Kept me busy. Lots of love on our block. Okay, so let's reach out to our kids and our youth right there on our block that we see. Because if we invest in them now, we won't have to worry about later. Put an investment now. You know, I got to tell kids, I said, I can invest with you on this side of the wall. But that other side is too expensive. So let's get some stuff going on this side. And they can understand that if you break it down to them. Uh-huh. Yeah. So last week we had a very, very good show. It was really, really educational. And I just thank everybody for participating. It was just really good. And everybody had some input about the disparities in education that's affecting our youth. And we know that it's a lot going on. We know that our kids are not getting a fair deal when it comes to their education. If we don't have the funds, you know, a lot of funds to take our kids outside of public schools or get them tutors, if we don't have the ability to move them, you know, in a place that's going to get them a better education. So we have to kind of work with what we have. And I just want to know what the difference was in the public education, Catholic education, and the private education, and homeschooling, and things like that. And so that's what we talked about last week. And it was very, very interesting. As for the ones that might not have been here on last time, well, we just started out the time that our kids are with the educators in school. They're in school at least 6 to 8 hours a day. So they have our kids' attention that long. Just add up those hours every day, 5 days a week, 6 to 8 hours a day. And, you know, and they're coming out of school and they can't read. Excuse me. They can't write. And like Jeremiah, the 10-year-old said, if you can't read, you can't write, you can't speak. You can't, you know, have a good conversation. If you can't read, you can't write. If you can't write, you can't speak. A 10-year-old came on and said that last week. So, and that's very true. So, so why do we choose to send our kids outside of the public school systems and go to the suburbs or go to private school, Catholic school? And so we have some on that's going to come on today, and they're going to talk about their experience in a different schooling that they went to and that they were glad that they did. Okay. And Miss Jackie, Jackie Vandegrift, she spoke about the acronym RACE, which is acronyms restating the question. She explained it to me today, and I was like, yeah, I got it. And I was like, oh, that's technical. But it's restating the question, and then you answering the question. And then you you cite where you got the answer from, and then you explain the answer, in your opinion, what that means. So when you're doing that, and you continue to do it over and over and over and over again, I guess you would be able to take a test well if you're being taught that, like in the third and fourth grade, a certain kind of way that you answer questions. Because a lot of these tests that we take are really not designed for our kids. And so they don't score well. Is that true, Ms. Vandegrift, Jackie?
I agree with you. Am I online?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Okay. I agree with you 100%, Kathy, because what happens is, and we were looking at some of the different ways that they give tests, because, and this was some years back, I was on a committee. And, for example, if they have a word problem and they are saying, Sally Jane used the teacup with a saucer. Well, most of our children look at their parents drinking from a coffee cup, a mug. And if they never saw a teacup, they would not know what they were saying when they put that on the test. So we reshape their minds because, and take it outside of the box. Okay, how many, start looking, how many ways do we drink tea? And we got to look for the main words in the sentence in order to know, because most of the sentence are not really, it's not even what they're talking about before they get to the main question. So even adults taking tests, become get fear. And all you're doing is reviewing. A test is only a review of what you studied.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we take our children? Because in the school system, in the public school system, is overcrowded. They have a curriculum that they have to go by. And there's a lot of disciplinary problems in the classroom. So by the time
mm-hmm.
the teacher decides to go through all of these different scenarios, the day is almost gone. Trying to make sure
yeah.
everybody has. Okay? So she doesn't have
mm-hmm.
time to sit down and teach them the difference between a tea cup and saucer versus a coffee mug. She has to follow that curriculum. So where should I go from here? Well, it takes a village to to educate our children. Now, one principal, and he came from a blue ribbon school, what he said is that every day while your child is out of school in the summer, they should do one page of math, read for 20 minutes, because what happened is the little young brain, by the time they get back to school in September, they can't remember all of what they went through for those 180 days for the last semester, because it's not repetitious. So it becomes something concerned with the parents. And there are a lot of books, even workbooks, you can get from. If you can't afford it, you can go to the library. Get the name of a book, a workbook. Don't let the child write in it, but let them have a piece of paper and work on it. I remember when we were in college, you know, we had to be resourceful. So sometimes the books were so expensive. And one young lady, she said, I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to the library. You better come with me. So I went to the library. We had our list of books. And we told them we want to take these books out. Well, that was the same books that we would have had to pay for. So we took the books out and we had our books for school. But we have to learn to be resourceful. So if you don't have it and you can't afford a workbook for your child, they always have the same workbooks or same books in the library. But people that know this is going to beat you there. So you have to, they say the early bird gets the worm. So you're going to have to get up early and do it. Speaking of that, how we can't change the system because that's out of our control. It's all about what we do in our home. You can't change the point of what they're learning. Because a lot of times everybody can't afford to do homeschooling. We found that out when everything was shut down, that a lot of parents trying to work and trying to go to school, I mean, help the children in school, it was somewhat difficult. But we have to come up with some alternative plan in order to help our children so they can move forward. So I was looking at something as I was talking to Kathy, and I said, okay, you remember the old thing, the do list, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A part of, we talked about the action board. So
mm-hmm.
if you break down, and this is what I told my nephew, in your course, if you have 14 videos to look at, and you have 7 days to complete it. Don't complete it on the last day. Give yourself 5 days. And you divide those 5 days, five into that 14, and you'll see how many videos you need to watch a day, because you want to be completed on the fifth day, because because you can't be responsible what takes place on the 6th and 7th day. So if your work is in on time and you have a thunderstorm and have a blackout, you don't have an excuse to say your stuff was late because it was there on time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do this, sometimes we have to have self-motivated books. We got to have family time we call me time. That me time, and it doesn't have to be hours. Maybe it's me time. If you have 3 kids, me time 15 minutes with each one. And in that 15 minutes, make sure you utilize that time because you want to be able to talk to them and find out what is your interest, what you like. Well, if you can't think of something, well, I'm going to pick something for you. So I'm going to give you a pass today. But when we come back here every Saturday for your me time, I will have your curriculum that I want you to do, or you have your curriculum, what you would like to do, and give them that responsibility. And that way, another problem, concern I have with our children and with in the school system, they wait till parent-teacher conference to say your child is failing.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do a weekly assessment where that child is falling behind and give that parent a call or that parent go up and say, well, where's my son or daughter standing at this time? Where's their strong points? Where's their weak points? And if whatever they say, you write it down and say, well, do you mind? I'm keeping a record so I know what they're weak and strong on. Can you sign this sheet? So once they sign that sheet and you know that they're strong this week, you won't have any surprises saying that child is failing when parent-teacher conference comes because you're up on it. So, you know, that's just to kind of start things off. Let's do our to-do list and have me time. And it might not be a proper acronym, but me time. So that child knows that, oh, at Saturday at 2 o'clock, this is the time with my mother and I or my father and I. It's called me time. And each one of them have their own me time. And they come up with, you have to be responsible for something. I was telling my nephew that a friend of mine's, her son, went to one of the universities up in Flint on a special program. There was only 2 of them from the United States. All the other children had flew in from other countries for this program. Our children are not dealing with the United States. They're dealing with the world. They have to be prepared with the world. Okay?
And they're not and that's true. They're not. It's like they're not being held accountable for their learning, and if you know the parents don't really give them the time that they need, and if the teacher don't give them the time that they need, or anybody that's not caring about their learning or checking on them, then that's the way they're going to be.
What no children want to do. At it, you might have some that say, you might have a 1 or 2 that say, I have that drive, or I want it this way. They want it that way because they know the expectations of them. Somebody has put expectations. That's it. So, I've heard people say, so-and-so's daughter, she wants to do it. She gets good grades. She does this. She's responsible. Mm-hmm. No, she's responsible because somebody put expectations on her.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, and if you don't give them any,
that's it. So, and that happens.
You don't give them any expectations.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And no, no problem. But then the thing about it is, the home life has to be ready too. The family life has to be ready too, because everybody don't want you trying to help their children. So it's got to be something ready, because I remember years ago, this was an educational system in Rochester, New York, where they would have a teacher, and she, at part of her degree was in social work. She was an educator. She had all kind of things, degrees behind her. But she took five children. She taught these children, five children, from first grade all the way up to 12th grade. But she didn't only teach the five children. She made sure that she counseled the whole family. And everybody had to be involved. If the mother needed to complete college, then, or she needed to get a diploma, they set up courses for her to do that. If the father needed something else, or a trade or something, they set him up to be able to do this. Because then the family came together, because the whole family, this was a family matter, and they had to sign off on this in order for these children to be taught. And they didn't go and get the elite kids. They went into your inner cities and got reached out to families that needed some help. But they had to want the help. But, when you look at different programs, yes, we could do it here. We probably could get grants here. But the thing about it is the system going to approve it? Because you're taking money out of the system.
Well, I think it's going to have to be more hands-on. You know, parents have to be more hands-on. And then, like, we do a lot of entertaining of our kids. We don't really give them, a way to broaden their horizon. And so they just kind of get stuck in what they do every day, just go outside and play or nothing. They don't want to go off the block. They don't want to do anything different. I've been trying to get a group of kids to go to a camp, but they just really wouldn't get up. They didn't want to go, and I just kept telling them, if you go, you're gonna have to be committed. So they would say, okay, we'll be ready at 9 or whatever, and they wouldn't be ready. They wouldn't get up. And so finally, I took them Wednesday to the camp, and they had so much fun learning that they didn't want to leave. But if you don't never take them off the block, then they won't even know, what's out there for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You got to take them
off. And I like that, because, Kathy, you do so much with children. But as we speak, I really enjoyed the young lady last week that we were talking about the dream board and the action board. And she said that we need to also think about the mental status.
Right.
And that plays a major role. Teaching a child, that a failure is the one that don't get back up. But understanding that um, understanding that we have to, I have an important call just came in, but understanding that we have to, what was I saying, Kathy? Kathy.
We were talking about taking the kids out of the community
kids.
And
right.
Yeah, showing them this.
But, I have to take this
and,
call.
No, you were talking about the mental health with Sarah. Sarah talking about the mental health.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Okay, yes. We do have to show them other things than just, you know, entertaining them at Chuck E. Cheese and things like that. They have to have a bigger horizon or have more higher expectations and things like that. So if you want to plan on speaking, just press 1 and I'll put you on. I want to know, you know, what were some of the schools that you went to that, you know, that made a difference or didn't make a difference other than, you know, public school, or why did you go out, switch schools or your parents switch your schools? What was the difference and what, you know, how did you feel about that? Who we have? Hello, you are on Bring Back the Family, 3960. Yeah, press 1. Everybody press 1 that's going to speak today. Okay. Are you back, Jackie?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Go ahead. And let me see, what else was it? I know that one time I took a group of kids to a college fair. It was one of June's sister Rogers. She worked for Baker College, and I took a load of kids down there, and they were able to look at all the different careers and things, and so. They were kind of young, but they were really, really busy. And so this one lady, she was with the FBI, and she saw that they was kind of busy because I had so many of them. And she sat and she kind of had them come to her table, and she entertained them for a while, asking them questions and about the law and things like that. And they were answering. But it was one particular young man that stood out, and he always stands out wherever he goes. He always stands out. And so by the time that was over, he, out of all those kids, was invited to come to the FBI camp that they have every year that we don't know about. They have an FBI camp where, like, when you go to work with your parents or whatever, but they had a program, and a lot of jobs have, companies have these programs where you go and you learn how to do the work that your parents do. But this program, they went and they did in things that FBI people do. They did fingerprinting. They did, they just did a lot of things. Told him about the program. And so he was the only black kid, boy, young man there. And I think it was one black girl, and the rest were white. And I think that was it. So these are programs that we don't know about that we can take our kids to if we knew about it, just to let them know that these are some of the things that you can do. They told him it was over 5,000 jobs that they could do within the FBI. And he had an excellent opportunity to do that because, wherever he went, he was a standout. And out of all those kids, mm-hmm. he got chose to go to that. And so, yeah.
There's
so many.
But you know what, maybe we can, when we find out about places like that, we can kind of share it with parents, with people, and try to get the word out that these things
mm-hmm.
are happening. Certain little camps, because now one of the things that I found out just by talking to someone, because their son, Greg's son, is graduating in June.
Mm-hmm.
When these kids are getting ready before they go to college, now we're expecting them to have so many certifications, certificates of certification, that while they were in school, that they are capable of doing, if it's IT, have a certificate in IT, whether they take a short course of it, and then they're able to be more qualified for when it's time for them to get a job, whatever profession they're going to go into. And so she was saying that her grandson, when he went to this college, he had two certifications. But the other kids from other countries had five certifications. And that's interesting because, okay, we said, okay, you have two. We're going to let you go for this. But some of these other kids coming from have the opportunity to travel here. They might have came from a family that was poor, and they know that they have to be able to grasp everything that they can so they can send money back to their families.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at education a little bit different from our children here because they want to be in their class. They want to be, but I found that strange that how we'll settle for our children to just be mediocre than to direct them to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm going to look in because something came across my desk, somebody, and I'm trying to think who sent it about some certifications that you. And I'm gonna go back to my messenger and see who said that about these different certifications. So if that's something that our children can do, we can share that, you know, in your website. You know, because we got so many of them about to graduate, coming around about to graduate, and they do not want to be behind, caught behind. They want to be in on even floor field, on the even fit when they go in that college, or they are about to graduate. They want to be able to go in there on an even level.
Mm-hmm.
And if they take these many courses and get these certificates, we want them to be well abreast on it. So kind of remind me, because that's something that
I will.
And this just came to me about a few days ago about this child didn't have, all he had was two certificates of completion. Mm-hmm. And I think he did one in computers, and I'm not sure what the other one was. But the other kids from these other countries, they had five. So they were ahead.
I know. Everybody's ahead of our kids. We're just lagging behind. I know one of the educators, she has Ms. Gaston, she has a program that's called Declaring Your Success, and hopefully she'll bring that back out again and put it in action. So whereas you declare what it is that you're going to be. So hopefully that'll be a part of a big part. Maybe it'll be implemented in the school system. So whereas they have to declare what it is that they are going to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that, to her bringing that back. Okay, Marcus. You on Bring Back the Family, 9956.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello? Hey,
hello,
how are you?
Hello, we hear you. Fine, how are you?
Oh, great.
I know
I'm good.
I know that you're working and you wanted to have something to say, so go for it. Did you get a chance to listen last week?
I didn't. I was working. Disparities
in education that affect our youth. And I know that your children, are they in Detroit public, are they in public school or do they go outside of it?
Yeah, they're
difference?
In public school, but it's not in Detroit. Overall, I think the disparity comes with just the environment. You know, it's in psychology, it's a nature versus nurture. So if you around, in sociology, nature versus nurture, if you're around people who are not serious about school and they're around family who's not serious about school or succeeding, they're going to bring that energy into the world they live in the school. So in more affluent areas, you have people who are driven by success with careers, and they're going to expect much less. So if you have in affluent areas of people making their children become doctors, lawyers, or making them have a career path, then someone in a more financially disparate area, they're just happy just to be finishing school, just the bare minimum, and that right there is enough to create some disparity. And then also, if you're walking around and you see sky's the limit for everybody else around you, you're going to think the same way too. You know,
right.
A lot of people in like West Bloomfield school system. I got a cousin; she's going to Yale now. I don't know if nobody else is going to Yale. But when you go to school in Yale, West Bloomfield, going to Yale is just like, I'm going to Yale too. So you don't want to be left behind. It's kind of like
right.
You don't want to be the eyeball out. And sometimes inner city schools, they don't celebrate the same thing that suburban schools celebrate. So just the mindset and the culture that they were raised in, they live in, is just the biggest thing. The teachers probably want to do a good job. They want to teach in the same way, but they're fighting the culture first. And so the culture in the home, the neighborhood, as long as that's tearing them down, they'll never catch up to schools that's like in more affluent areas because they're not serious about succeeding at a young age. That's what I believe. That's part of what I believe.
That's big. Yeah, you got to be motivated, and they will do what, you know, they see you do. I know my niece, Keisha, she sent me a text, and she said, because I asked her about, you know, why did she take her kids out of the public school, and she said that at the end of the day, she just wanted something better for them. She said the classrooms were overcrowded and didn't feel safe. They weren't getting the attention they needed, and the staff was overwhelmed. She said, I knew they could have a different experience, so I found something that I feel was a better fit for them. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why they opened up years ago, I think. They opened up School of Choice, and that ain't no School of Choice. Actually, some people, they're mad about it. It says it's ruining the inner city schools by opening Schools of Choice. But when you open up Schools of Choice, you want something better for your child. So you might not live in that district that's a better school, so you got to travel there. But if it's for your child, you're going to make those sacrifices. And, it's what's needed. Because, of course, the school system in Detroit is tough. It's dilapidating with all the school closures, the mixtures of schools, and it's just hard just to corral those children to get them motivated to succeed. Because everybody wants, like, microwave success, and when they see it, and I'm 40 years old, and I just remember just at least wanting to do okay in school. At least, like, man, this could be the key to some kind of success. And it's kind of absent now. You know, I ain't say major. Hey, if I do good in chemistry, who knows? I might do something later with chemistry. But, like, you know, now it's kind of hard because they have access to things that entertain them too much. And if it's not driven in your home, if it's not driven in your home, screw the school. If it's not driven in your home about being successful and carving out a career for yourself, it's going to be hard for a kid to make that decision. That's why I'm all for people making decisions for their children. You know, hey, you're going to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a doctor. You want to be an artist or sing, do that in your spare time. But in the meantime, you're going to do what's going to be successful for you. My cousin did it. My little cousin, she done went to journalism school and all this stuff. She's getting it ready for college. They're making her. They're guiding her. I'm not gonna say they're making her. They're like, these are your options. You wanna be a dancer? Go dance after you finish this schooling. And the second that the kids show resistance a lot of time, we'd be like, well, they ain't got you being too hard on them. All right, you take care of when they get old then. You know, so
right.
That's
now
that's
who is that?
It's really
on your
in home.
Side?
Yeah. Yep.
Who is that going to be on your dad's side?
Yep, my Aunt Beverly. My Aunt Beverly's granddaughter.
Great. What's her name?
Yeah.
Kennedy.
Kennedy Staff. Yep, she's going to Yale. You know, but you know, she worked hard, studied. She, but everybody in her school is doing that. That's why I say the disparity is everyone in that school is
right.
They don't have a drop off rate. So it starts in their home.
They're competing.
I grew up in a family of basketball players. Everybody in my family want to play basketball. So that's a culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the culture in my family,
mm-hmm.
play basketball somewhat. So the same thing, culture in your family to be successful, you got a better chance of being successful because of the culture in your family. So that's the spirit you kind of start at home first. You know, that's just, that's my take on it, Miss Cabby.
I'll be listening.
No problem. I'll be listening. I just can't talk no longer. Love you. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And you know you're not supposed to call me by my first name, right? I don't care how old you get.
Miss Kathy.
Right. Okay, good deal. You're right.
Okay.
That's right. Well, I'm used to the other one. That's from you. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good deal. All right. See you. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, have a good day. Take care. Thanks, Marcus. All right, I like that. Everything he said, he should have been an attorney, but he wanted to, like he said, do that other stuff in your own time. So he did some stuff in his own time instead of doing what he was supposed to do. He's doing very well. He's got his kids on the bar, and he's doing good. And he's just a working, hardworking young man. Okay, who we have here? 396 Old Twig, you ready?
Hi, yes, I'm ready.
Avitra.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. So, did you want me to talk about me going to inner city or just give out the information?
Right, yeah, inner city.
Okay, so, hi, everybody. My name is Avitra Cowan, and I am, if you're from Michigan, grew up in River Rouge and, like, southwest, so downriver area. I went to Rouge Public Schools until high school, and my mother made the decision to put me in inner-city Baptist High School. It was a big transition, being the only African-American in my class. That was, like, a culture shock. And then also dealing with the fact that just because you were the only African-American that, you know, we were not as educated or as etiquette, you know, as the rest of my class members. And then just being able to make it through coming from public school to private school was a big adjustment. I did have to get tutored to catch up. I was in tutoring 4 days a week, and I was in high school, and I had to get tutored 4 days a week just to be catch up based on my scores. And I scored enough to get in, but I still needed that additional help. And it's a difference. And one thing I remember that my English teacher told me, I did a paper and turned it in, and she said, you gotta, you know, story, everything is good. She said, but you write like you speak. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, what do you mean by that? I was offended because I don't know how to write proper English because I wasn't speaking proper English. according, and she's not, mm-hmm. she wasn't, you know, trying to belittle me. She was just like, this is what, when you're writing, when you're going to college and when you're in the workforce, this is what's expected. And she worked with me extra, you know, gave me extra time, and, you know, we got there. But the difference is when I went to college, my freshman year of college was basically a repeat of my senior year of high school. Everything I had learned my senior year and throughout those years in inner city, I basically did my freshman year of college. The emphasis is because your parents is paying, it is more education. But I do not down the public school system. I think the public school mm-hmm. system is getting beat up a lot right now because they're fighting. They're fighting with everybody for, as you said, school of choice, for the dollars to get the kids in, and then it's overwhelming. Is this, and, you know, they're going, you know, we have good schools here in the city of Detroit, some good schools, and then, you know, it's just hard for them. So, I think it is, like the young man said, it's like your environment, and that's true to a certain point, but I think so, too. It's what that individual person wants, because I've seen kids who their environment is so messed up, but they don't want to be there, and they strive to do other things. And anybody who knows me and you're at our church, I'm always bringing up programs that's free or cost little for our kids to do, and our school systems don't promote these programs. And mm-hmm. the parents, I don't know, either will or will not. I mean, you know, Kathy knows, I talk about DAPSET every year. They do DAPSET 2 and 3 times a year for registration. I talk about Math Corps at Wayne State, which is free. That program is ran by Wayne State engineering students, and they run that program. They have a program twice a year. I talk about Cranbrook Horizon Upward Bound, who take our kids from the neighborhoods, take them to Cranbrook, and they test them, and if they score, they give them full ride. They give them full ride to Cranbrook, and that's huge. So there's a lot of programs that are available, but we as the community and as parents, we need to, you know, like we got to get these kids involved. It's just something. It's just as simple as a lot of black kids in our communities. We don't know how to swim. We had a pool at Kimney Center, but when they rebuilt it, there's no pool. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how to swim. Our kids need to know how to swim. There's other sports besides mm-hmm. basketball and football. There's golf. There's a lot of things that our kids can do if they had the opportunity. I'm sure there's a lot of golfing programs that may be free or not, you know, maybe not cost that much. But we have to be willing to start learning how to back our kids and showing them what's available and what's out there. So I don't know if anybody have any questions about what I just said, and if not, then I can move on to the other stuff, to the other information, Kathy.
Okay. Yeah, let me see. You're right. You know, I wonder how the teachers feel when, you know, the kids are going from grade to grade and they know that they have not learned anything and that they have really earned their way to the next level. How do you feel? I wonder how they feel about that, knowing that they're responsible for those kids learning, you know, because you take an oath, you know, to teach the kids, like you take an oath in different offices that you are responsible for. So I just wonder how they feel that, you know, all these kids have been passed on, you know, and they're at their head.
I know they
want to do a good job, you know. And I know it's a lot for them because the classes are overcrowded and all that, but to just keep letting these kids just pass on and on and on, and then, you know, get to the point where we are now, and this is what I'm talking about with this victim thing. We are going to be the victim of our kids not being taught properly, not, you know, everybody is responsible in this thing. The parents, the teachers, the community, everybody is responsible.
Yeah. And then COVID compounded it. So that added on to it. Now we call them, this is, you know, these are our COVID kids. You had kids who, for 2 years, who would have been in Head Start, kindergarten, you know, pre-K programs who didn't get that. And then that's, so now you have kids who are not, maybe not speaking as well, or they should be at a certain level, or not speaking at all. You got to wait a year to get in to see speech therapists. The education, the learning how to study and learning how to pronounce words, that's just been piled on top of everything else that they're encountering. Mm-hmm. I'm not a teacher, so I don't know what factors into that. I don't know if it factors into, I'm sure some of them feel bad about it. I don't know if they have to do it, depending on the school system. Does their job depend on it? Does their pay depend on it? I don't know. Those are definitely things that you will have to ask a specific teacher.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I did speak with a teacher from Hamtramck, and she wanted to come on, but she's in her, I think, her holiday Ramadan or something like that. And she was saying that they have a new way of gauging how many prison cells that they're going to make for our kids from the third and fourth grade. At first it was the test scores of the third and fourth grade. She said, now they have a new gauge of how they're going to do what they do as far as to eliminate teachers and see if they're the problem and if the kids are the problem. And then she said the parents don't even know anything about this, so she's going to come on one day and talk about it instead of them, you know, trying to put better programs and improve the education system better in our inner city, because they call this the pipeline to prison, you know, instead of them putting some of those programs in the school to help, you know, get them to the next level and have that equal playing field of learning. They want to play games like that, you know, so.
Well, you know what, Kathy, they have been doing that for many years. That's why, as you know, they have a number for each child is nothing but a number. And they were, right, and they have, based on how involved that family is in that child, they have a scale going down saying that is there a father in the home? Do they have a church team? Do they have a support team? Who is their support team? And they put them in categories. And in those categories, if your child automatically, they put them in the category that for prison. And if the police stop your child, automatically, they don't even know their name. They hit that computer to see where that child's name is. And they already sized that child up, whether they're innocent or guilty. But I would like, you have had some good speakers, but I would like to comment on the young man that spoke, and he said that he believes in selecting a career for your child. If your child can't decide what they're going to do, you're going to do something. And I agree with him. You have to, they don't know.
They don't know
if they are going to like it or not, unless they experience it. And so whatever the young man came from NASA to speak to the kids, and they used to have the NASA program at Wayne State until a group of people felt that it was too many little black kids in the school every Saturday, and they wanted them out of it. So that's why that program, and whoever this woman was, she knew somebody high up or was kin to her, but they got rid of the program over at Wayne State. But the guy that came from NASA, this is what he told the young people. He said, I have a degree. I work for NASA, But I also have, in my personal time, I rap. Whether I make money rapping or not, I still can take care of myself. And so you probably have to, sometimes you it's a sacrifice. It's what you invested in that child. And I agree that I'm like you, Kathy. I wonder how they feel when they go home knowing that 50% of their class can't read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an educator, I would have to be concerned about that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are some very good teachers out there, but a lot of them have knowledge. And they put so much stress on the new teachers, it's whether you do it or not, you know. If you're not in the clique with them, they make it kind of hard for you. So these teachers, they just let it slide on by. But like you said, these same children are going to be our leaders, or they're going to be the robbing you, or
they're going
to
run
be
into them in the street.
That's it. Yeah. Or they're going to run the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going to run right into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt for the young lady when she got to that school and she had to play catch up. Because she didn't say some of the hardships that she had, because kids have such a hard time when we think we're doing right by them, putting them in other schools. But that child that is not telling you some of the things that they go through and some of the things that she probably would never be able to forget, being the only African-American in the classroom. She had to, I'm proud of her, but she had to fight some battles.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That part of it wasn't hard for me. It was the catching up with the education, because I went in and let them. My family, when I went in and they tried to say certain things to me about being the only black, I let them know right then and there who I was, where I was from, and don't come for me. And I never had a problem. Mm-hmm. Once I let that be known, I never had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That aspect of it, you know, that I didn't have a big problem with. I mean, but, you know, when you grow up, it's going to be racism everywhere. But as a kid, because of who my family was, and because that, and I could speak, and my mother was a church secretary for over 40-some years, and we have, you know, she will go over there in a minute, because I'm paying to have my child here. She's not going to be disrespected on any level. And so, and anybody know my mother knows she went over there. So that part of it wasn't a big challenge for me. It was just basically catching up, and I wanted to go back to my old school because I was on the honor roll there. Why do I got to be here and I got to get tutored when I was at, you know, Rouge High and I was on the honor roll? But here, I got to get tutored. I'm not on the honor roll. But I eventually, like I say, I stayed and I graduated, and that's, you know, and that happened. So, but it just has to, my mother thought it was a better fit for me to be there, and that's where she put me.
And they can put you on the honor roll sometimes and put you in these English, what is it called? The higher English, and you think you really know what you're doing, but when you go to another school, you find out that you really don't know what you're doing. Honors English,
right? And that's what happened to me.
English and, right.
Mm-hmm.
And they have you on honor roll, thinking you're getting A's. That's why I say always check your kids. If they bring it home all A's, test them. See if they really know. See if they really earned those A's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're on honor roll,
right.
But then once they go to the next level, they cannot compete at all. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Kathy, can I give you some information?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so we got a lot of information. I'm going to get this, so I know it's time to be wrapping up the show, but I want to give out some information. As I said, DAPSET has a couple things going. DAPSET has a current registration going out for the Science of Sports, a PXG Detroit. So what they're going to be doing, it says, join us for a full day of golf with PXG to get an engineer's view on the game before attending the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So DAPSET is doing, if you go to their site, you can get the information and you can register for that. Now, I do have another program from DAPSET. Sorry for the lateness. I did talk about it, but I wasn't able to be here last week and talk. They have a Continental Automotive STEM event, and it's tomorrow, but it's free. And DAPSET will be providing transportation. You can go online and you can see if there's still spots. They're going to have buses that pull out at 8:45. This is going to be an event at the Continental at the AG. It's at Auburn Hills, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they're going to be providing transportation. So all you have to do is go to DAPSET website and select that and see if they still have, if it's still available. And if that, and if it do, they'll be, you don't even have to take your kid. They'll be taking them and then bringing them back to their office that's located on Woodward.
That was for golf?
No, the first one is for golf.
Golf, okay.
Which is the PXG event. But this event is called the Continental Automotive STEM event.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
Yep,
okay.
And that's going to be tomorrow. And but like I said, you can just go straight to their website and see if there seating is still available. And one thing I like about DAPSET, especially by them getting back, they do provide a lot of transportation to the colleges and to events and things like that. When they send the kids up to Ann Arbor, they take them and bring them back. They provide, or Ann Arbor used to send their buses down so the kids can get a chance to see how they would send those big U of M buses that the sports people ride to the airport and things on. They would send them down to the city to pick our kids up and take them back up to Ann Arbor and bring them back. If you go to Michigan Works, they are having a virtual job fair July 20th from 1 to 4. You just go to their site and you have to register for this. And that's going to be July 20th from 1 to 4, and it is a virtual job fair. Also, the Healthy Men is Breaking Unhealthy Habits. There's a men's conference that's going to be Monday, July 18th, which is tomorrow again, from 12 to 3:30 at 2081 West Grand Boulevard, Detroit, Michigan, 48208. So they're going to have all type of information for men. And a lot of this information is on our website. I would like for everybody to remember to always check out Runner for Christ Ministries website. We have a lot of this information that I go over is also posted there. And then Michigan Secretary of State is doing a road to restoration for your driver's license. And this is going to be held Thursday, July 28th. They're going to have a clinic from 9 to 5. Walk-ins will be welcome from 10 to 3. And this is, it's going to be, they have three different, they're going to be doing it three different times. So that one on the 28th is going to be on the east side at 2900 Connor Avenue. And then they're going to be doing one in southwest Detroit on August 24th. So if you go to Michigan Works or South Works, that information is on here about it. It tells you exactly what type of driving infractions that they can work with and remove. And once again, that is the Michigan Secretary of State's office that will be doing these two programs. And for our, let's see. Then we have, if you're a member of AARP, always realize there's a lot of benefits with your AARP. They have right now, if you go to their virtual community center, they do exercise, everything via Skype for free. Well, not free. Well, you pay your membership and then you get it. But they have a lot of things. If you don't know, if there's certain things that you need, they help you with resumes, looking for jobs. If you need a different type of supplementary insurance as you're retired, reach out to your AARP and they will be able to help you. My last two things is something that I know we have posted on our site. There's a program with University of Michigan Dearborn. It's called the SOAR program, Support Opportunities, Advocacy, and Resources. This is for students who are must be over age 25. And they're eligible, they have to be eligible, it says, for financial aid like a Pell Grant, no loans. If you have student loans, they can't be defaulted. The SOAR program it helps you, it says if you're 25 and have a 2.0 or higher GPA and you're eligible for financial aid. So they are helping you with scholarships, books, and everything. And this is an opportunity at University of Michigan Dearborn. And that information is on our website, so if you want more, go to Runner for Christ, and then you can click on the link and get more information, or just reach out to U of M Dearborn and ask them about their SOAR program. The last thing is we have a program for people who, if you've just been released from prison and you need help and you need assistance, the City of Detroit is running orientations. On Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 a.m. And this is at 9301 Michigan Avenue. Again, 9301 Michigan Avenue in Detroit. And the phone number is 313-922-2232. Again, 313-922-2232. So they help you with getting, they say, job readiness, training and licensing, and job placement. So that is an opportunity if you know somebody who needs that help, if they just been released or they, you know, been out for a while or anything, there is a program in the City of Detroit that will help. That's all I got. Thank you, everybody.
Good deal. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good information. All righty. Okay, so if you want have something to say, we have press 1. Okay, here we go. Terrence.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
You know, I'm wonderful. You know, as I was sitting here listening, I loved what Miss Jackie V had to say, because our society really needs to get back to how teaching used to be back in the day. Back in the 80s and back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, and even earlier than that, teachers used to teach all kinds of real world subjects. But I think the teachers today have become so overwhelmed that they don't want to teach, that they don't want to be burdened with teaching about real world stuff. And you were talking about the schools people went to. I had the honor of graduating from two different, I graduated from a high school, but I was in a program called the Paul High Program, which stood for Physically Otherwise Health Impaired. But even though I had my physical challenges, I was still able to be a part of the general population during my first graduation. And the people that were a part of my first graduation, they never looked down on me because of my disability or physical challenges. They always came to me and asked me, how do you get through the day dealing with what you're dealing with? And I had to tell somebody, the only way I get through dealing with what I'm dealing with is with a positive attitude and by the grace of God.
That's right.
And they were shocked because they didn't expect me to say that. And even though I've been physically challenged for a long time, I've never been looked down upon because of my physical challenges. I've always been someone where people have come to me and said, you inspired me to keep going on my graduation journey. Because there were people in my high school class that they wanted to quit. They wanted to give up before graduation even began. And like I told them, I said, don't give up because God may have something better for you. And then when I graduated again in 2015, the same thing happened. People came up to me during our graduation and said, Terrence, I want to quit. This is too much. But I told them, I said, don't give up on your dreams because you never know who's watching you.
That's right.
And
you are inspiration to me, really.
and you know what?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's been a challenge. Both of my graduation ceremonies were filled with challenges, but God gave me the grace to get through them.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me the power and the outlook that I have on life. that, yes, I get burned down sometimes, but the reason why I come to church and do what I do is because God made me think about what I've been through with a different outlook. See if we keep. I'm gonna say this, then I'm gonna let you go. If we keep looking at the challenges in our lives with an empty glass, then the glass won't be able to be filled up. But if we start looking at the challenges in our lives with a full glass, then God has something to work with.
Right.
So
yeah, people can look at you and be an inspiration for sure.
What I want to say to the youth before we end the show is whatever you're going through, whether it's good, bad, hard, or easy, look at your problem that you're facing with the glass half full. Because what you're going through may be hard, but it'll be all worth it in the end.
Yeah, for sure.
It was worth it that I had the opportunity to go through two separate graduations, because it made me see who the Lord was with a different perspective.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's very, like I said, I can't wait to be, all of that is going to be in there, and it's going to inspire the youth. That would be a good book for the youth to read. It's going to inspire them as well. Can't wait.
You're welcome. I was one of those who said, "Lord, what am I going to do with my life?" And the Lord said, "Just wait and see. Just trust me and wait and see what I have in store for you."
All right. Well, thanks, Terrence. That's very inspiring. You always have something great to say. It's going to encourage
you. You're welcome,
as
and
always.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you, Terrence. Okay. I have one more caller. Let me see. I think we lost. If you want to have something to say, you can press 1. We're about ready to wrap up. Let's see. I guess for my caller, she keep dropping. Missy? Okay. Well, we'll wait for her. And, did you guys hear about the 13-year-old that was admitted to medical school. 13-year-old black girl is going to medical school already. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, 13 years old, got accepted to medical school. So, yeah, so it can be done. Somebody truly encouraged and made sure that she stayed focused. Mm-hmm. I think I see Shania. Shania, do you want to have a word to say? Let me see. I thought I saw your number there. Yep, there you go. Let's see. Hello, welcome to Bring Back the Family. Shania, is that you?
Hi, yes, it's me.
How you doing?
I'm doing good today. I really loved what everyone had to say today. It was really nice. I learned a lot as well. So, yeah, it's been a good show today. How are you, though?
Thank you. I'm good. It's always good to see you showing up. I know you're out there doing great things.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, what did you say? I know you're out there doing great things.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad to see you tuned in. How's Mr. Dan?
He's doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. He's actually about to enroll in grad school for the fall, so on the topic of education.
Great. Now, you know, I know you went to Lincoln Park and you guys really did well. So, and you guys basically talked about your experience in school, you know, that's not part of the public school. It's public school. But and your parents had a great deal as far as that support. And I know that's a big thing, parents just being supportive of their learning. So we were talking about disparities in the education that affect the youth. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I did go to a public school. As Aunt Kat was saying, I went to Lincoln Park High School in Lincoln Park, Michigan. And my experience was a little bit similar to the other woman. I'm sorry, I didn't hear her name, but she had spoke about being the only black woman in her classroom. And I grew up basically from second grade to, I would say maybe, until I got to middle school, I was the only black girl in my class. And that was interesting to grow up, you know, around that environment. And it kind of just came back full circle when I went to college, because I was the only black student in some of my college courses as well. But I would say that overall Lincoln Park prepared me for those college courses that I went to. I did not take any AP courses. I took pre-AP English. And actually, it's a funny story about that. So I took pre-AP English at Lincoln Park. And basically, this whole time, I've been getting all good grades on all of my papers. I always get A's or a B or something like that. When I get to pre-AP English, mm-hmm. Everyone failed on their paper. I mean, the kids were crying. They were, like, upset at the teacher because we're used to just passing. And so when she told us what we did wrong, my dad, he was actually the only one that has said thank you to her, because that's exactly what we needed. We needed someone to tell us, mm-hmm. okay, well, you're wrong. You're doing this wrong. You know, you need to do this better, because mm-hmm. I was ready to go to college, and I can't go to college writing papers with, you know, bad punctuation and you know, not grammatical errors. So, like you said, Uncat, you know, just make sure when the student comes home, make sure that they're being taught the right way, because, you know, mm-hmm. they can be getting all these good grades, but at the end of the day, make sure that they're understanding what they're supposed to understand and, you know, understand the curriculum that they should be at that level, or even if they surpass their level that they're at, you know, that's a great too. But my, public education experience was nice, I would say, overall. I went to e-course schools when I was before second grade, so I don't really remember all that well, but yeah, it was a major culture shock when I was a little bit different from the black girls in my school, and then I was different from the white girls. So sometimes I felt like I didn't really belong in any place, but I ended up finding my way. And, you know, that's more on the social side of things. But, yeah, overall I would say it was good. And I did well at Michigan State. I made the dean's list 3 times that I was there. So, you know, it's all based on what the students do, based on what, you know, their environment, of course. Like Marcus was saying, like, I had a very supportive support system, my family, my parents. I wouldn't have done anything without them. And so, you know, it's like my performance as well as everyone behind me and on the side of me.
All right. You are a star. Proud of you. Yeah, so proud of you. Thanks, Shania.
Thank you.
Just looking forward to you doing all those great things. And, you know, it's funny that everybody say, you know, they're saying, I was the only black person. I was the only one in my class, black person in my class. And it's like, wow, just think, we need black teachers. We need black attorneys. We need black doctors. And so where are they? Why aren't we getting, you know, to the point where we're supposed to be? You know, we need black police officers. And so if we're just one out of how many kids at Michigan State, you're just one, that has to change. That has to change. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Miss Carly, are you there? 8031. Hello. Thanks, Shania.
Hello.
Love you. Hey.
Hello. How you doing? Good evening.
Just wonderful. How are you?
Well,
good evening.
I'm blessed. Thank you. I just wanted to share
great.
Some information. It's dealing with education. This program I had my granddaughter in, it's called Mercy Educational Program. It's an actual program for females. It starts from the second grade up to high school. They will work with the students, prepare them for math, reading. It's actually a tutoring program, but they also emphasize on other issues. So, you know, in elementary and middle school, they do testing. They prepare them for that too. And also, if eighth graders going into the ninth, they prepare them for high school, taking a test, and also college. So, like I said, this is a wonderful program. She's been in it for 4 years so far, and it has enriched her in her academic area. So if anyone interested in calling, I know there's our limited space. They work on the same schedule as DPS. So when DPS is closed, they close. So they meet once a week. But I'm going to give you the phone number, and the listeners or anybody call you, they could contact them directly. But enrollment started July 5th. So if they are interested in for any of their daughter, granddaughter, niece from second grade up to high school, they should try to call right away.
Okay.
The number is 313-963-963. 5881. And it's located downtown.
Downtown.
It's located downtown on Howard Street. And the program usually starts at 4:00. They do provide transportation, but it's limited to if you live near the school. I know they pick up some kids from school, but if they live far away, the parent or the guardian has to pick them up. So they can contact them to get more information. And it's just not that too.
Like
right. Mm-hmm. They go on field trips during Christmas time, giveaway, bikes, or, you know, just it's an excellent program.
Okay. Yeah, Miss Carly has raised 2 grandchildren, a son and daughter, and they are doing excellent. She made sure that they were in good school, and she was an active, participating parent. Which,
oh, yeah.
We're seeing that plays a part. Mm-hmm. And that plays a big, giant part. So that's a good program right there. So, so like we said, block by block, do something on your block. So if you got some kids that we know that they're behind, we know that they're behind already. So maybe their parents will let you enroll them in this program or let them the parents know that this program is happening, and they can get them ready. If they start going now, they could catch up. It'll do them some good. And get them prepared for junior high, high school, and get you prepared to go back to school after the summer. So that sounds like a great program. So share it with some of your neighbors. If you see kids on the street, share it with their parents. And I'm going to see about this program because I'm going to take some of my kids over there because they need it. They need it. They need this. So I'm going to put them in my van, and we're going to go over there and see if we can get them in there. Yes. We're going on a road trip. Mm-hmm.
There's another program, Kathy, I have, too, that I want to inform you. I don't have the phone number, but they can look it up. It's called Big Brother, Big Sister. That's another excellent program. You know, they will match up, like Amber's, a female, a big sister, Marlon, a male, find out how many times during the month you want to meet with them. They take them out on outings, skating, movies. And then the program do offer a lot of other activities on site. They are located on Collingwood. That's almost near Henry Ford Hospital.
Okay. Oh, I think I know where that is. Mm-hmm. Big Brother, Big Sister, yeah. It's near the boulevard. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a lot of big brothers and big sisters, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can look that up. Yeah. Okay. Or be a big brother or big sister to somebody. See somebody on your block, these kids, they're just starving for help. They're starving. And you have heard everybody you heard everybody's comments today, and you could tell that we are in we're in big trouble here. We're in big trouble here. I know we used to see our teachers after they retired. We would see them, and we would just love to see them because they gave us so much. They gave us so much. Now, I don't know what these kids don't think about their teachers these days, you know. I don't know, but hey. Everybody can stand to do better. All of us can stand to do better when it comes to our kids because they're the ones that's coming up. Okay? Thank you, Miss Carly.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for all your work that you do to help, you know, the youth and, you know, standing in as a grandma. Because sometimes grandma, you know, got to step in and raise the kids for whatever reason they have to. And we just thank you for that.
Oh, yes. No problem. No problem.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Pastor Awesome. Oh, are you in the house?
Yes, I'm in the house. I'm looking out the window. Look, my neighbor got his truck in the driveway, and there's a rabbit over there. Oh, boy. I hope my wife don't make me go chase the rabbit. He all the way across the street. I shouldn't have to chase that one. She don't like the rabbits.
Right.
They be tearing the flowers up.
Go get the rabbit.
Yeah.
I can see you chasing
now. Yeah, she got me feeling like Elmer Fudd around here. I feel like there goes the rabbit.
Go get him. Go get him. It was a cat in my backyard the other day. He had a bird. And I was like, leave that bird alone. Leave him alone. And
you're going to leave him alone, all right.
Yeah, I'm scared of cats.
And feet.
And he looked, it was a black cat, all black, and he had green eyes. And he looked at me so mean. I was like, ooh-wee. I said, I can't go out there and chase him because he's going to attack me because I'm scared of him. And so I just kept looking at him and kept looking at him, giving him the eye he was giving me. And he finally let him go. I think he might have tore his wing off. I'm not sure because the bird was just kind of jumping around. He wouldn't fly away. But yeah, he had the bird. I was like, you ain't gonna get the bird in my backyard. So
I saw the craziest thing.
Did get away.
I looked out the front door one day, and then I looked to the left, and I saw a bird. And it was eating something. And I looked closer. It was another bird. It was a blackbird. It had snatched a baby bird from somewhere that just had some little gray-like feathers. So it was a young bird, and it was just eating it up. And I'm like, Jesus, that is really well, that's the animal world, right?
Right. I
didn't either. But
birds are eating each other. I didn't know that.
But the Lord said to me, what do you think a worm is? Ain't that meat? So they carnivores, and they kind of cannibalistic.
Well, that's what they're supposed to eat, the worms.
Yeah,
they
this must have been a retarded bird, because he was eating a worm. He was eating another bird, and I'm like, dude, you are disgusting. He just looked up at me like, and no, you can't have none. Right. And yes, I'm going to eat this. So I was like,
hard-headed bird.
Then left the scraps right out there in my grass. I'm like, really? You're going to leave some feathers and feet? All I saw was feathers and feet and a beak.
Anyway. God. Yeah, he really was fighting. It might have been his girlfriend,
something.
Pastor. Oh, shoot.
He got mad. He's like, I ain't got no knife to cut the body up, so I'm going to just eat it up.
Right.
You know what?
Oh, boy. That's the bird world. Mm-hmm.
From the outset of the show, when you was talking about new places off the block, do you know how big that can be for somebody? You'd be surprised at how many grown men have never been outside of the city that they grew up in. They have never, grown men and women, have never left the city, and some never even leave the confines of where they grew up, right? I mean, on a block, on a street, never went outside a couple of streets past their street. And that's, you know, real depressing. But once you get them outside the city and they see a whole nother reality, new places, new faces off the block, and they see life off the block, and they see people all together doing different things and enjoying life, that gives you hope. So that's the first thing I heard when we first started. I'll never forget this. I had become so ingrained with hanging out on Saliette, corner 15th and Saliette. That was where I hung out at day in and day out. But when I got married to Baby Holy Ghost, she wanted to go somewhere. And so, you know, we took off and went to Frankenmuth. I had never been there. I had been places. I was in the Navy. I lived in Hawaii while I was there. Did Chicago for boot camp, so I had been some places, but it was that way. But going somewhere just to go somewhere else, and it did me a world of good, and I think we kind of got hooked on just going places. You know, it was, for us, it was never really the place. It was just us being together. But then again, it was different, and it changed my thinking. And every time we went somewhere, I came back with new ideas. New hope, new horizons just popped up out of nowhere. And so that was heavy what you said, taking them someplace. And just like that, we would have to go somewhere with my father, right? And we didn't want to go, right? Because we wanted to go down the street to the playground and play with our friends, right? You know, tear the playground up and stuff. But he would put us in the car and took us out in the country. We sat in the back with funny-looking faces when he said we had to leave. And guess where we were? We were at a side farm. But it was something else seeing cows and seeing horses, seeing a real barn when they used to be red. Mm-hmm. So that's a powerful thing. And then there was talking about driven and in the home. I think that was Marcus talking about being driven to do different things and the culture that you grew up in. You know, you do have to have drive, and you do have to have people pushing you. You know, not not pushing you too much, but pushing you towards something. You know, do something. You know, it's like when Jesus was growing up. He didn't just sit around and his mother would say something to him, and he like, I'm talking with my father in heaven. No, Jesus learned how to be a carpenter. That was so powerful. Mm-hmm. I don't know who was that, Marcus. That was so powerful what he was mm-hmm. talking about. In the house that Jesus grew up in, there were carpenters. His father was a carpenter. He's being the oldest son. He learned the trade. He taught it to his brothers. I'm pretty sure his sisters helped out with whatever, okay? But he grew up in the kind of town in an environment where everybody had skilled trades. And then there were educated people like scribes who would teach people how to read and write. Jesus learned a whole lot of things in growing up in that culture. So that was real powerful. If you look at my brothers and sisters, we are all like my mother and father. Mm-hmm. We do different things. My father worked at Ford Motor Company for some years. Well, one of my brothers, John, retired from GM, and Richard, well, he worked in a lot of different places, retired and went back to work in some more places, retired again, and then started doing Lyft and Uber. And so and now he's got a new business venture. But we all, just like my father and mother, we all carry mm-hmm. those traits because that is the environment that we grew up in. And my father was the kind mm-hmm. of guy who would not hire somebody to do something but try to do it himself to save money. And somehow I always ended up working with him in those projects because they were beyond the normal stuff like mopping the floor, cleaning the bathroom, washing the dishes, taking out the trash, cutting the grass, trimming the hedges. It was beyond that. It would be stuff like putting a hole in the wall so you could run a pipe into the chimney so it can exhaust the new position of the water heater. He changed where the water heater was to a new place, so he had to change a lot of other things. I worked with him on projects like that. I always wanted money, so he would give me something to do. And one of the major things that he did was always work on his cars. He did a lot of work on his own cars. So my brother Richard and John started working on cars and having hot rods. And sure enough, it started really with Kenny Joe McFall, my oldest brother. Okay, he started it with the business thing. Mm-hmm. He was always doing business, and he always was into race cars back in the 60s when you could barely even get to the drag strip because of the color thing, right? But he was out there winning races, had trophies on the mantle, and so my father was into it. His father, Johnny McFall, was a mechanic, so that environment turned us all into mechanics. And not only that, but those were the things that we did around the home. Then we had jobs outside the home, too, like he did. He did everything around the house, and he worked at Ford Motor Company and EJ Corvette at the same time. My mother worked for a time at Ford Motor Company, then Edward Gerbeck Funeral Homes. So that's what we saw growing up, and that was so powerful what he said about the culture that you come up in. And that is, parents, what are you – you're teaching your children something. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving that. You're mm-hmm. raising them in a culture, in an atmosphere, in an environment that they won't be able to escape from because it'll become habitual to them, right? What are you mm-hmm. raising them to do? You can automatically tell what they're going to do. What kind of culture mm-hmm. do you have them living in? And then I'm still impressed by what the 10-year-old said. I think he was a fifth grader. And he said those summer vacation, okay, I think it was, what, 180 days or something that you're out of school? Or somebody mentioned mm-hmm. earlier in this program how they forget what they learned over them 180 days. And that young mm-hmm. man said that you take that time off from school to solidify what you do know and learned in them 180 days, and then start prepping yourself, getting yourself ready, you know, mm-hmm. for the next semester, and not just, we're going to have fun all summer and play.
All summer.
So, you know, I heard a lot of good stuff today, and, you know, all of this focus on the youth. And then talking about this and understanding the realities of the way education is today, things are different. A million charter schools, whereas before you didn't have any of that. okay, opportunities to go from one school system to another. Those opportunities weren't there, but they are today. So how do we still accomplish the same thing like Pastor Terrence Tate was talking about, going back to the way we used to do things? And that we can do. We can have our homes the way they used to be. We can raise our children the way we used to. We can get away from this nonsense of, I want you to have a better life than I had. What that meant was, I don't want you to grow up in slavery, Jim Crow, Reconstruction, none of that. I don't want you to grow up where you're in a world with no civil rights. I want you to grow up with a life better than mine. That's what that meant. It did not mean, I don't want you to learn how to struggle. That's what Pastor Terrence Tate was talking about, not giving up so easy. And today's youth can't take a lot. I mean, they get tired real easy, and they stress out real easy. I don't know. I think we were able, our stress, our ability to handle stress was different because we grew up tested and tried. And when we thought we were being like, when I would say to my father, why are you so hard on us, like I've said before, he would tell me why. And it was all in preparation for my future. So all of his fussing, all of his punishing, all of his instructions were not him being mean. He knew what was ahead of me and us, okay?
That's right.
And he wanted us prepared for that. And before he closed his eyes on this earth and went home to heaven, he saw that his work was done. He had somehow got all us nut jobs together, especially the boys. The girls, they weren't that bad. But the boys, we was the overall boys. But he got a chance to see us all straighten out and become just like him. Like him and my mother. They worked on that thing together. And one funny thing, and I'll end with this. When we went to the hospital to see my father, you know, I don't go to hospitals. I hate that. But anyway, I have to go sometimes, but I hate it. But anyway, they finally convinced me to go. Well, John and Richard, they have a way of convincing you. So I went. And what worked for me is he had a smile on his face. I will never forget it. And when my mother passed away in 05, he died in 84. Mother passed away in 05. But both of them the same way, smile on their face. I don't know if they was happy to be away from us or if they was happy that they got a chance to see that when they left here, we were all right. You know, my father said that the things, once I got older, it used to be, I'm teaching you this stuff so you can make money. I'm teaching you this stuff so you can learn how to take care of yourself. I'm teaching you this stuff so you can take care of your mother when I die. And sure enough, he died. And she stayed here from 84 to 05. She didn't have to worry about a thing. You know why? Because he taught us that when he leaves here, he wanted us to be in a position to take care of my mother. We just about worried her to death taking care of her till one day she told me to tell your brothers and sisters they don't have to do all this. We gave her central air. She hated air conditioning. But, you know, we overtook care of her. And this is good. It's very good. It's very therapeutic. It gives you, this show gives you hope, Kathy, because if nobody's talking about this and we just keep seeing disaster all around us, I mean, when do you, you know, do something? And this is that something. This is that opportunity to do something. This gets you in what John Lewis called good trouble. I saw a young man today on television who was inspired by John Lewis. John Lewis had no idea he had inspired this boy, but he had become his hero, and he finally got a chance to see him, and he ended up walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge with John Lewis. And the vice president was right there, and it was a big day for him. And it may, and now he's written a book about that experience, and he's only 14. He was 10 when he met John Lewis, and now he's 14, and he's written a book.
Hmm.
Environments wow. make huge difference. That's why what Marcus said was so, captivating with me anyway, because mm-hmm. he is so right. We become the product of our environment, and we cannot escape.
We do.
And God got a vitreous about busting at the seams with jobs and opportunities. I mean, mm-hmm. our church website under Christian Resources is just filled up with jobs. My wife keeps saying, that one paying $28 an hour. You sure you don't want to go back to work? I'm like, baby, I already work. I'm a pastor.
Right. Wow. Yes, Pastor, that's right. They prepared you for the future, and that's what, you know, we have to do to the youth, to prepare them for the future. And when I look around me and in my environment and around, and I see what I'm seeing, it's like, wow, who's teaching them? Who's showing them? Who's preparing them? Who's telling them anything? It's like this world gone wild.
You know what, Kat? People see the work that you're doing. I was talking to somebody just before I come on the show. Right? Actually, that's why I was tuned in like 5 minutes after it started, because I was talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, this lady around the corner have all the kids at her house. Her house just, it seemed like all the kids meet right there. And then I thought, wait a minute, Kathy live around the corner. And I'm like, wow. So people on your next block know what's happening in your block. And you are known as the lady who have all them kids. So the word is out. Yeah, your neighbors are. You got some neighbors that don't even live on your street that know what you. And then I met this other girl who works with us on Wednesdays. She said she grew up right behind you, I guess on Beatrice or Littlesdale. I forgot what she said her name was. But she was telling me about, I just mentioned I mentioned Running for Christ. And she said, oh, then mm-hmm. you know Kathy. I said, yeah, she's the one cool. that, you know. And so your work is not going unnoticed. It's not going unnoticed. Oh, and people are saying good things about what you're doing. So it's out there.
Great.
It's like what Paul said about the Thessalonians. He said that when I go to another place to tell people about you, they say, oh, yeah, we know about them. So their reputation preceded them, and yours is doing the same thing. I thought it was so funny. I'm on the phone, and of course I told them to tune into the show. I'm on the phone talking to somebody who talking to me about you.
Oh, right. Lord, and thank my parents. My parents mirror your parents, and they are just resting well, because I think they did just, they were such good teammates. Yes, they were. And they showed us how to be team players, and I just love it. I just look back, and all kids should be able to look back and just be grateful and thankful, you know, and just to be able to think. And to be able to do some things without your parents, you know, being around you, you know, and you just, you know, they make a good name for you, for their parents. So, yeah, I like walking in my mom's shoes. She was a happy-go-lucky lady, and she was just a sweetie. So I just love walking in her shoes, because I know that she wouldn't want me to be any other way, treating people any kind of way. So I love it. I love that. Love my parents. They were good people. Good. Miss them. Ooh-wee. Yeah, so, and I always thought that every kid should have parents like mine. I really did. That's why I became a foster parent, because I wanted all the kids in the world to be safe. Yeah. So it's good. Thanks, Pastor. Hot dog.
You're welcome.
Hot dog. Hot diggity dog. That's a little Mickey Mouse song I like to sing with the kids.
Yeah.
I even know the Mickey Mouse song now. Yes, sir. It's fun. That little girl name was Elena Annalee. And she is the 13-year-old girl that gets accepted into medical school. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody really had her focus. 13 years old going to medical school. How cool is that? It's a 13-year-old makes history as the youngest black person to get accepted into medical school. 13-year-old Prodigy Alina Annalee Wicker. Wow. Just reached an awe-inspiring accomplishment. Congratulations to her. Man, oh, man, I'm going to have to track her down and see if she could come on to bring back the family and encourage all the kids to be doctors.
You know?
Yes, I'm going to try to find her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, all right. So thank you, everybody. That was such good information today. Well, I want to do it again. It seems like this is just really, I'm learning a lot with this, and I just love to hear everybody have their say in it. I have a person that is going to come on and talk about the prison system, and so I need a couple more people to tag into that, so we're going to get that going one day. As I was talking to a person that was out of prison, and he just had my attention for about an hour. And I was like, wow. So, yeah, a lot of things we need to tell our kids, and he wants to tell them. So, here we go.
Hey,
so,
my brother, Reverend Overall, Richard, worked in the Wayne County jail systems, I guess, about 20 years or so.
What?
I think that was the last place he retired from twice. So, yeah, he got some experience. And then there's Jonathan, and he works in probation. And then there's Monica, Marissa's sister, Madeline's daughter, Tate. She works in corrections, too. And then there's Linda Jones. She works in corrections. So, yeah, they can tell you what it's
all I had to
about.
Do was ask you.
Yeah, I've been corrected, so I've been corrected. So
we want to know what
God
happens
the correction
in the big place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we want to know what happens in the big place and behind the walls that we try to get them not to go to, so we need to tell the parents what to tell their kids about this system that they have that they make lots and lots and lots of money on. And man, it's like we're preparing our kids for that instead of preparing them to, you know, be the doctors, the lawyers, the police officers, the judges, and all of that. So I don't know where we went wrong. Okay,
hey.
That's it. Oh. So it's such a big ocean of a problem. Okay. Well, that's it, you guys. So we'll see you next week. We're going to keep this going. I love to talk about education. And you know, once we keep talking about the problems and start working on them and use all these resources that we have to, you know, take some of the kids and get them involved. We're gonna be on track. Yeah. So thanks for all your information. Thanks for your time. Just very appreciative. Okay, well that's it for today. Thanks, Cosmo. You're the greatest.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I hate to go. Okay, that's it. So all right. Au revoir, everyone. Till we meet again. Ciao.
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easy.
you're my leader.